Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I sit on the plane and glance down at my iPhone 6 Plus, I can see that I am down to 0 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2016. That's right, the time is upon us. We've been counting this trip down for a long time, each and every day, and I've done that with Days to Go WDW. Every time I got a phone call, a text, or wanted to post an update to Facebook or Twitter, I saw how many days I had left. I saw great pictures. I got an audio charm every day at 2:05, and I'm going to be resetting this app for Star Wars Dark Side Challenge Weekend in April. So grab this app. You can use it time and time again. It's going to get you excited for your next Walt Disney World vacation. Check them out today. They're over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 959 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and still, fortunately, MagicalMouseRadio.com, at least for a little while. Well, no, we're always going to have the station. We got a backup all ready to go. Don't freak
Woo-hoo!
Out. We're good to go.
You just made me very happy.
I haven't slept in like, 4 days.
Who cares? You just made me a happy woman. I don't care.
It's going to be there in some form, and it'll be very close. So no matter what, even if Live 365 goes away, if you heard the rumor, at the end of January, we're going to have Magical Mouse Radio, so no sweat. It may be a little bit different, but thanks to Brian and a lot of other folks, Kai and many other folks that are working with me behind the scenes, we're going to have it there ready to go if and when we have to make the change. So it's there, and it will be. Anyway, we're here to answer your listener questions. It's a One Commute question show. It's a happy Wednesday as today is Expo Day down at Walt Disney World Marathon Week, and a lot of us are arriving down in Florida for the big marathon weekend, and it's going to be a great time, but we got to, get to work here before we can have the fun. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Well, speaking of The Mouse for Less, I'm just going to put this out there, and you'll hear me talk about it for a little bit. So we are looking for new bloggers. So if your New Year's resolution is to start writing more, have I got the answer for you? So we're looking for new bloggers for The Mouse for Less. Really, I'm focusing, obviously, of course, I want, Walt Disney World bloggers, but I really kind of want to focus on, obviously, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Universal, Orlando Resort. Yes, that's a big one. If anybody is like a Universal person, seriously.
I am.
Yes, well, Pam, you will not write for me, so just saying. If you want to write for me, Pam, I will gladly take you. And also Run Disney College Program. If you have any kind of niche idea that you're looking for, send me a message. I'd be happy to help you figure that out. But all the information of what I'm kind of going for is on the mouseforlessblog.com. So if you want to go there and look and see if, everything, or actually you should probably just go to the Mouse for Less and then click on blog, because I don't know that the actual website address is longer than that. So anyway, just go to themouseforless.com and click blog. And all the information is there, but I'm looking for bloggers. So we have a great incentive program for all of our bloggers. So you get lots of fun rewards for blogging. It's great. So you can come work for me, which is fantastic.
Well, I think everybody was all in except that last little part there.
Yeah, sorry. That's the part that's kind of a bummer. But, there's a lot of people who like working for me. So
I sent you a message. I texted you last night offering you up some bucks to write a blog for myself that I needed to get done. And then you said, do you want a blog for me? I said, heck no, I don't want a blog for you. It's bad enough we've got a podcast together.
Tried bribing me on that one.
Yeah, I did. So, I was like, come on, I'll pay you.
Yeah, don't worry, Pam. I put him in his place.
Yeah, so you did. I knew you. Right. Pam was working with you. Anyway, real quick, Ricky, before we get to today's show, update on the meet that's going to be on Saturday, this coming Saturday at the Contemporary, because we hemmed and hawed. We went back and forth, but we ended up deciding on air conditioning and a cover in case the weather's bad.
correct. So I have an update on that as well. So it's just update time for me. So we are doing our meet for Marathon Weekend. We are now doing it at the Contemporary at 2 o'clock at that at the Contempo Cafe, the Outer Limits Lounge area. You know, for those who have been to meets before, this is where we've had meets a few times. It's a great area. Like Mike said, it's air conditioned, which is a big thing, and good for in case of rain, which is also a good thing. So, yeah. So if you're looking for the meets for the Lizards and the Be Our Guest podcast, come to Contempo Cafe at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And we are so excited to be able to meet you guys.
All right. So see you there. And again, safe travels. We're going to be down there, and just look for us all over the place. I'll be posting on social media at Be Our Guest Mike on Twitter and Instagram. So check us out.
Absolutely.
All right. Also joining us for MakingMagicAndMemories.com, we have Debbie. Happy midweek, Deb.
Well, it's kind of happy. I mean, I have, of all things, guess who's manager on duty this weekend?
Of course.
Yeah. Because I would be able to switch, but I have already taken several other weekends off. So it's kind of like it's rather me or no one. And, well, the company kind of frowns on the no one part. So I'm like, well, fudge sickles. So, yep, I was going to try to rework it. There's just no way I can't, guys. So I'm going to miss you guys.
All right. Also, that's a sink. All right. Also joining us from the Magic for Less Travel, we have co-owner Pam Forrester. What's up, Pam? Catch you down in Florida.
I know. I'm so excited. So, like, you know, things are packed. I'm getting ready to go. I leave on Thursday, which is tomorrow. So
I'm ready.
I am. I'm telling you. After doing end of the year financial stuff for the business, just part of it today, I am so beyond ready. So anyway.
Right.
You earned it, Pam.
I know, right? So anyways, but yeah, just totally looking forward to it. And I can't wait to see everyone. I think that was the thing I was thinking about today. I know that we've made some, you know, some plans, and I saw like, you know, this community, I think more than any other community I've ever been involved in, they like go out of their way to spend time with each other, convenient or not. It's like, bam, if something changes, like we saw, like the meet changed, and like 10 people were like, no problem, we're going to be there, or we'll make it happen, and here's how we can make it better. And I just thought that was really so cool. So anyway.
Yeah, I was watching that as I was, you know, as the kids were working the first day back after Christmas break in my classroom, and I kind of was monitoring it on my iPad, and it was cool that all of a sudden, you know, we had to make the switch just for the good of everybody, just to kind of give us insurance against the weather and to keep the runners as comfortable as possible. But also, I think we're taking over the wave. Like within 15 minutes, it was like, oh my gosh, it's a wave takeover. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's going to be a lot of Lizards in the Contemporary, that's for sure.
That's awesome. So. All right, well, let's get to the first question of the day. It comes from John, who is in Louisville, Kentucky. And he says, my wife and our twin 2-year-old boys are staying 4 nights at the Polynesian and another 6 nights at Bay Lake Towers this May. We're thinking of buying annual passes, but I read on Disney's website that annual pass holders can only book up to 7 days of fast passes in a 30-day window. Does this mean, even though we're staying on site for 10 nights, that we can only book up to 7 days of fast passes if we get annual passes? Also, will our split stay have any impact on how I have to book my fast passes? Thanks, and I love promote the podcast to anyone considering traveling to Walt Disney World. John from Louisville. All right, John, here that's kind of what you're seeing there, basically, and you can back me up, Pam, on this one, but what you're seeing there is basically the rules for locals that have annual passes without a resort reservation. What's going to happen is you're staying on site there for 10 nights, and that trumps the annual pass fast pass window or allowances, where you're staying on site 10 nights, you can make your fast passes for 10 nights and the split stay will not impact it at all. So correct, Pam, is that right?
You will be able to make them, but you'll have to make them in two batches, 60 days from the first day and then 60 days from the second stay.
That's it. So yeah, you're right though with the annual passes, you know, you're allowed so many. That's without a resort reservation. That's just having an annual pass. But if you're staying on site, man, you're golden. You can make them for every day as long as you have tickets to match that. And with annual passes, you do. So
that is the good news. Disney didn't want to penalize their annual pass holders who are actually staying on site, which, hello, that was pretty smart. So
yep. Yeah.
Go Disney for being smart about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, next question comes from Beverly. She says, "Hi, Mike, Pam, Debbie, and Ricky. I live in Chicago, and I'm a big Uber user. On my last trip to Disney, I used Uber to get from my resort to a dinner reservation at a different resort. The trip was much quicker than using Disney transportation and much cheaper than a cab. I think in the future, I will be much more likely to book dining reservations in other resorts now that there's an easier way to get there. Have any of you used Uber, and do you think it will change how you get around Disney?" Ricky, have you Ubered yet?
You know, I haven't, but that's only because I always have my own car. So since I drive down all the time now, I haven't done the Uber thing. So I am no help. I should try it just once, but I've never done Uber in general. So it's like on the list of something to try, but because a friend of mine's actually an Uber driver. But I haven't done it myself.
And sorry. Going along with today's show on Facebook, if you've used Uber, and I know a lot of our listeners have, give some feedback on it, because I have a question for everybody on Uber. Now, I was going to use Uber actually on this marathon weekend trip, but I ended up getting a really good deal on a rental car. So I grabbed that because it's for the same reason that Beverly mentioned. We're going to, you know, we have dining reservations at other resorts, and it's just easier if you have a car. Plus, if we want to go over to a theme park really quickly and back and forth, you know, time's really valuable over the marathon weekend. So I rented a car, got a good deal. But here's my question about Uber. Pam, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. But like with a family of four, if you request an Uber, do they ask on the app, like, how many people are going to ride? I mean, because obviously it wouldn't be the same as, like, you know, it wouldn't just be a coupe that four people could ride in. Do you know how that works?
I believe you do put in the number of people that are riding. But again, I will tell you, I have not used Uber either. And that has to do, you know, with the same reason that Ricky said. I mean, we always rent a car. We almost always have one. And then here in, like, where I live, there's really no opportunity to do that. I mean, we kind of live in the country that's connected to, like, a town. So it's not Uberville here. And then when I'm in Pittsburgh, of course, I have my car, too. So I don't do it. But, yes, I do believe that they do ask you the number of people in your party, and you put that in. That's part of the whole thing. And then, you know, I believe that you see the pricing, or because there were some complaints about surge pricing and stuff like that. And I imagine around marathon weekend, there'll be a little surge pricing because some people will need some transportation, but you do know that kind of thing in advance. So,
yeah. Can you imagine what the surge pricing will be, say at like 3 o'clock in the morning of the races? I mean, because think about it. I mean, you may be able to, I'm going to ride the bus. I like the whole experience, and I like knowing that I'm on a Disney bus and I'm safe, but I mean, you may be able to save 30 minutes, you know, might be able to get an extra half hour of sleep if you had a reliable Uber, but I don't like to have those things out of my hands. You know what I'm saying? It's probably a pretty safe bet, but I'm just one that I like to take as many variables out of the equation when it comes to something as important as a Disney race where you're, you know, you've trained a lot, you've paid a premium to get there. You know, the 30 minutes of sleep isn't worth it to me because I won't be sleeping anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to roll the dice on this one. I'm sure it'll be fine, but it'd be interesting. I'd love to hear how many people actually do take Ubers to the races, because they could probably just swing you by, drop you off, and it's probably really quick and cheap, I'd imagine.
That's what I was thinking, too. I don't think it's very expensive, and I have heard people do it, you know, use Uber with success. I will tell you, and this is the mom in me, and, like, the whole thing freaks me out just a tad.
I agree with you.
Say. I'm just like, I don't know you.
Yes.
I'm trusting that Uber vetted you to some degree. Is that me being dumb, though? So anyways, I'm just a little freaked out by it. But there's people that use it and have absolutely no problem whatsoever. So, I mean, that's just me, Pam Forrester, the person who takes the Lysol wipes with her to wipe down her plane seats. I mean, you know.
Wait, I didn't know you did that. What?
That's a very smart like the handrest. Yeah.
I learned something new about Pam today because I did not know you did that.
I did.
The good thing, though, about Uber, though, is if you don't know, and again, I haven't done it, but I listen to a lot of tech podcasts where this is the discussion a lot. And the way it works with, you know, how this, like, basically it's what they call like a disruption of a service. You know, it's a disruption of the cab service. It's a change in fundamentally in how things are done. But with this, with the app, is that you rate your driver. So that really incentivizes that driver to give you the best possible experience, because they're not going to get as many fare, you know, because you get to, like, you know, you can see, is this a 5-star driver versus a 2-star driver? Are you going to go with this person? But also the other way around, the driver rates you as a passenger. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's kind of both ways, and it gives, you know, it's kind of like that market driven incentive to be a good passenger and a good client, and also a good driver who's giving, you know, a great value and being polite and being, you know, having a clean car. And I've heard, you know, that a lot of them will give you like a mint, you know, because they want to up their score. So I think everybody wins in a situation like that.
And that's definitely true. I just, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a little cautious about that because, like I said, I do live out in my country and we don't have to do stuff like that. I get my car and drive myself.
That's true.
And if you feel uncomfortable, all you have to do is leave a copy of your dental records with your next of kin and then you should be fine.
That's another way to do it. All right. The next question comes from, let's move on to Amy, as we're talking about, hopefully we move off the scary death
scary
cab rides.
Uber, yeah.
Exactly. We're not doing them any favors.
You know what? Mike's not scared about it, but we are as women. And I think women are a bit more cautious about things like that.
I agree.
I wonder though if there's women Uber drivers and like you can request a woman
driver.
Oh, I'm
sure there are. I just don't think you can request that.
But see, that's a marketing thing that maybe they're leaving out.
I mean,
absolutely. Like
a woman
maybe they're
Uber
a woman
should
driver.
Be listening to us right now and totally go with that.
I'm not saying that I trust women more than men, though.
Well,
that's
true.
I'm going to say. So, anyway.
Yeah, some of the meanest people I know on earth are women. I'm just saying.
I mean, you can have a preference.
Wow. No.
I'm not talking
this
about you guys.
Is gonna
I'm just saying.
This is pretty raunchy.
Women
well,
can
I was
going
to say, if you can have a preference to have a massage, somebody giving you a massage as a man or a woman, I think you should be able to have the preference of if you want a male or female Uber driver. I don't know.
Did I mention that we have another question from Amy?
Okay, good.
Not about Uber.
Oh, yeah, the question show. Yeah,
let's move out of the massage parlor. Let's see here.
But I want a massage.
Hi, guys. I love the podcast. The information that I've gleaned from it was invaluable on our first ever Walt Disney World trip in November. I know, not much. I'm especially grateful for touringplans.com.
Me too.
We became DVC members while we were down there and already have a trip planned, a trip for May of 2016 in the books, as you say. My question is this. I'm going to be turning 40 in May of 2017 and had planned on going back down to Walt Disney World then to celebrate. Here's the rub. I was all of 2 days old when Star Wars premiered in theaters. This means, of course, that as I turn 40, so will Darth Vader, R2-D2, and all of our galactic friends. Do I want to be anywhere near Orlando that week? Do you anticipate horrendous crowds? I'd love to hear what you think. Keep running, Amy. All right, so she's talking about going down in May of 2017. Of course, that will be the 40th anniversary of Episode 4, the original Star Wars movie. She's talking about like, you know, being scared to be in Orlando. I would say that there's, you know, because they're getting more and more Star Wars stuff at the studios, but I wouldn't be scared to be down there on vacation. I mean, they're going to have special events, but I can't imagine that it's going to be any worse than like Star Wars weekends.
Special events at this point. I mean, they took away Star Wars weekends. So
well, I think they will for the 40th anniversary. I think they'll have something special, but you know, if you're scared to death, because I think they probably will have something big at the studios, kind of akin to Star Wars weekends, maybe just like one weekend. But I would say go for it. Have your 40th celebration down at Walt Disney World. It can't be that bad.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think that would be that bad. I say go too. It's not going to be like Christmas or anything like that. I mean, you're going to be fine if they did something. You're going to be just fine. So, yeah. I mean, we've been there on the 40th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom, and that was
30th. Of Epcot and all of that. And if anything, you know what Disney will have? An after hours
a special
party available.
I was going to say a special cupcake.
Yes, a Death Star cupcake.
After hours party and special cupcake. It'll
yes.
be both.
There you go. That's probably what they'll have. Yes.
Yeah, so go ahead and go down there. And especially, you know, you're a Star Wars fan. The way I see it is that, you know, if you want to jump in with the masses and really celebrate the 40th anniversary of Star Wars, go at it. And if it's a nut house, if it's crazy, bail out, go over to Epcot, you know, go to Animal Kingdom, chill at your resort and enjoy your 40th, you know, trip down to Walt Disney World. I mean, I don't think Orlando is going to be swamped. I just think that it's a great opportunity to get, you know, get a piece of that kind of Star Wars feel and celebrate. But also, you know, you can go other places where I think the crowds would be normal because what you say, May or June of 2017? I forgot when the movie came out, like May, I think.
I think it came out in May, yeah. You're asking me, and I haven't seen, you know, wait, I did see Star Wars, but...
Answer, well, you did.
I did see the seventh movie, so yes.
We're not going to talk about it yet.
No, we won't. Not yet.
Okay,
we're
next.
Time,
yeah, almost. We've almost. Yeah, actually, we probably can now, but we'll wait maybe one more week. All right, next question is from Leslie, and she's in Altoona, Wisconsin. She says, go Badgers and go Pack, go. Hi, Mike and the ladies. Love listening to the Be Our Guest podcast while working. I've learned so much from the podcast episodes. I have a couple of questions for my upcoming Disney trip. This will be the first time I take my kids, age 6 and 3, to Disney World in April, from April 19th to the 24th. We're staying in Art of Animation, Lion King Suite, with my mother-in-law, and my parents will be in the Little Mermaid rooms. Number one, on the April 19th, we have dinner reservations at Chef Mickey's at 6:45. How should we get there from Art of Animation? My parents will have a vehicle with car seats. Is it best to take Disney transportation or to drive? All right, so I'm going to throw this one out to Pam. So she's the parents have a vehicle with car seats, but they're going to Chef Mickey's, 6:45, Art of Animation to Chef Mickey's. How would you get there if you were Leslie?
So Chef Mickey's is not a tough one to get to using Disney transportation because you can go right from the resort to the Magic Kingdom and then you can walk over to the Contemporary. And it's easy peasy. Now, you know your kids. Is it easier to contain them in car seats in the car or do they like the bus experience? And will you be doing something afterwards? Like, will you be going to the Magic Kingdom after that? If you're going to be going to the Magic Kingdom after that, I would just take the transportation. And you can either walk right from where it drops you off at the Magic Kingdom to the Contemporary. It's actually a very short walk. Or you can take the monorail, and it's the first monorail stop.
I say, you know, kids that are 6 and 3, riding the monorail is almost like, well, to me, I mean, I'm 42. Riding a monorail is an attraction to me. It's fun. It's a cool way to arrive at the Contemporary for Chef Mickey's. So I might take a bus to the Magic Kingdom, hop the monorail. It's first stop after the Magic Kingdom, so you're there. But if you're looking for efficiency, drive the car. If you're looking for experience, take the bus and the monorail. That's what I would say. All right, number two, what time of the day should we get fast passes? My kids usually get up pretty early, 6 o'clock a.m. Central Time. So the plan is to be at the park for rope drop most days, especially Magic Kingdom. I hope to take a midday break on most days for afternoon naps or swims. My biggest concern is in the Magic Kingdom. One day we want Anna and Elsa, Seven Dwarves, and Beauty and the Beast for fast passes. All right, Ricky, what's your current philosophy on fast passes? Mine is end of day where you're going to hop to. Still is, but what about you?
So they are deciding between morning or evening? Is that what you're saying?
Just
or?
What time of the day? They're going to be there at rope drop. What time of the day should they get their fast passes, in your opinion?
Well, I kind of like earlier just because it can allow you the opportunity to get that fourth rolling fast pass. So that's usually what I'll do is myself, I will make the fast passes for however early I think I'll be in the parks, which for me is like, you know, 1 in the afternoon. So I'll do that. And then I'll use those and then I'll go to make the rolling fast passes after that. Really, that's only for the Magic Kingdom though. I don't use much of the rolling fast passes for the other three parks, just because, you know, most of the time by the time I use the first three fast passes, that's pretty much what I would have used them for in the first place. So but yeah, at the Magic Kingdom I'll definitely do the rolling fast pass. So I say do whatever you want for the other three parks, but at the Magic Kingdom absolutely do the rolling fast pass.
Yep, and there's no right or wrong answer with this. Again, my philosophy is, especially since you said you're going to be the rope drop, I get as much done without fast passes in the morning as I can. As soon as I start to bog down, like around lunchtime, you said you were going to take a break, we're out of there, we're swimming, we're taking a nap, and then when I go back either to the same park that evening or if we hop to a different park, that's where my fast passes are. I'm guaranteed, and that's usually where we eat dinner, a meal and three experiences and usually a fireworks show for that night. It's very, you know, it's like you have this going in. It's like gravy. You know you're going to have a good night. So that's kind of how I go about it. Anna and Elsa, Seven Dwarfs. Seven Dwarfs isn't so hard to get anymore. Anna and Elsa is still pretty challenging. Just get on that. And what I would say, again, the best advantage to doing that is you're staying from the 19th to the 24th. When your fast pass booking window opens up, try to get Anna and Elsa for like the 23rd or the 24th. Don't go for the 19th. Go for the end of your trip. You'll have a little bit better odds because everybody goes for that first day. Mm-hmm. Go as far back as you can, and you're not fighting quite as many people right at that, you know, the moment the fast passes go live. Now, yeah. Debbie, what's your opinion on fast passes? When do you do them? Do you do them later in the day, first thing, midday? What do you do?
No, I'm a morning person, so I try to get mine knocked out during the first of the day, because if for some reason one of the fast passes is not available, then I know that I could actually wiggle around the other ones and just stand in line, you know, if I wish to stand in line for a long time. I'm not a line stander, so I have been fortunate to get the fast passes that I've wanted, but that still opens that up a little bit more for you. So I definitely say get the ones in the morning and knock them out, and then again do the rolling fast pass.
All right. Seems to be popular opinion to go early, but we'll see. You have really no right or wrong answer. It's just like I like to save up and know that I have a evening, you know, kind of to go. So her last question is, we have 4 days in the parks, and the current plan is 2 Magic Kingdom days, 1 over at Animal Kingdom and 1 at Hollywood Studios with no visit to Epcot. We do not have Park Hopper tickets, but I wonder if we should get them because of everything being closed at Hollywood Studios. But on the other hand, I have young kids and I think it might not be worth it. Keep up the good work and thanks for getting me ready for this trip. All right, Pam, so let's throw this one to you. So 2 days Magic Kingdom, 1 day Animal Kingdom, 1 day Studios. No hoppers, but she's still kind of up in the air. Like, should she hop? Because I guess what she's kind of saying without saying it, she kind of thinks Hollywood Studios may be a half day park for her, and she wants to, you know, kind of, you know, have some insurance against that. Where do you stand on this? Because, you know, again, you know, with a family of four, you can save about $250 by not getting the hopper.
I know, but my thing is, I can't do it without the hopper. For part of me, if part of it's just a mental thing, but the other issue is with both Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, I find myself not spending the whole day at either park. So if you're getting 4 days and 2 of them you won't spend the whole day at either park, then I think that that's something to think about, just whether or not you want to do it. Now, with young kids, I understand it's much more difficult than it is for me and my family. I mean, you know, if Hannah's whining, we're just like, be quiet, we're going there, we're park hopping. No, I'm just kidding. Usually it's me and Steve. We're like, yeah, no. We're tired.
I'm pooped.
She's like, why are you two so old? So anyways, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, for me, it's a mental thing. Like, I would not, if I get to a park and for some reason it's busy for some reason unknown to me, and it could have been me planning bad, or it could be, oh shoot, I forgot about this thing that was happening here, or it could just be, oh my gosh, it's Wednesday, why is it so busy here, I'm going to be able to be like, I'm out, and not worry about having to burn another ticket day to get into another park. That would be horrible. So anyways, I need to have that. And not that you can, sorry, I shouldn't even said it like that, you can't order like a 5-day ticket and use 2 of the days,
right,
in one, yep, park. You can't do that. Or in 2 different parks, you can't do that. So what I mean is, I would have to go, if I had a 5-day hopper, or if I had a 5-day ticket and I realized halfway through day 5 that I need to go to a different park, I would have to go to the ticket booth and add
park hopper
hopping onto,
yes,
it. And it would be the same price to just add it on that one day as it would have been if I would have gotten it the whole trip. So
yep,
another thing to think about. If you're thinking about it, do it now before you leave home.
Yeah,
so
that's the biggest thing about park hoppers. If you think you want it, grab it. Just build it,
yes,
into the price of the trip, and don't think about the money you spent on it.
No.
Use it while you're there. Hop around. I think the biggest regret is people, because I mean, I've had this happen. I mean, we've all had this happen. You know, before I had an annual pass, I'd have Magic Your Way tickets, and I get to the end of maybe a 7-day trip, and just because of how the cards fell, I'd be like, man, I only hopped at parks like twice. Just because,
right,
like a lot of times maybe we went to that park in the morning, we still took a midday break, but we'd go back to the same park at night, which you can do without a park hopper. That's my best advice for somebody without a park hopper, is if you want to take a break, you're cool to do that as long as you just go back to the same park at night, and it kind of breaks up the day anyway. I like to have 2 different parks, but, you know, I understand.
No regrets.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have any regrets. Exactly. Build it into the trip and you're set, so. All right, well, let's get to the last question of the day. Last email is from Lucy, and she's in Ohio. It says, dear podcast crew, I recently found your podcast as I looked for a new Disney podcast to fill my hours of marathon training runs, and I love listening. Well, hey, Lucy, you're getting ready to cross the line in mere hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like 96 hours. I just think you'd be running for like 5 of those. Whew. I shouldn't say that. Guys, quit saying that stuff out loud. Anyway. Last June, my family, my parents, and 2 younger siblings took our first trip to Disney World in 20 years. While the rest of my family liked the trip, I fell in love with Disney. I instantly started looking for reasons to make a return trip and someone to travel with me. Unfortunately, no one else wants to go. So after months of contemplating and searching, I finally accepted that I would be traveling alone.
Hooray!
I'm going to tell you, Lucy, there's a lot of people, though, here that are like, hey, man, I'll go.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody around here wants to go to Disney. And here's what she says. My questions are these. She has two. Number one, what kinds of activities and attractions do you recommend for single travelers? Is there something that I could do because I'm alone that I couldn't do with the rest of the family? All right, Ricky, so tackle that one. So if you're there by yourself, because you've gone down for events and things without Brian, you know, recommendations for things to do for single travelers that, you know, are maximized by being single. Is there anything that you can do only as a single? I can't think of anything really that is exclusive to singles.
Not only as a single, but I can tell you there is something that is so nice about just having the freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want. So you can make the choice to, you know, go ride Test Track, and then you can go wander around World Showcase and really soak up each and every country. Like one time when I was by myself, I got the little Duffy and I seriously went around to each country at the KidCut stops, and I got my name and, you know, I got them to sign each one, you know, and do the little doodle that they do or whatever. And I totally had a great time. I would have never been able to do that with Brian, though. Ever. There's no way he would have gone around and done that with me. So, absolutely. Just do what you want when you want it. That is the best thing. The other thing I was going to say, and I'm totally probably stealing somebody else's, and I'm very sorry, but I was going to say is take some tours. I did the behind the scenes tour at the land. And it was fabulous. Again, it was one of those things where I probably would have never done that with Brian with me. But because I was by myself, I was just like, meh, I'm here. Tours in like an hour. Might as well sign up for it. So, yeah, that's my two favorite things.
And I would say, too, one of the things I've noticed that's kind of fun with being down there alone, in air quotes, is to engage people through social media, you know, postings to Twitter and Instagram, and you're getting feedback all the time. And it kind of makes it like that alone feeling go away, which I've noticed. Yes. And it also shares the joy with a lot of people who can't get down there. Now, Debbie, I know you do Walt Disney World Single a lot. So what are some things you would suggest?
You know, first of all, I do second what Ricky said about doing the tours. It was really kind of cool. And you are by yourself tour. You're not really on anyone else's schedule. So if there's some things that you wanted to do, like maybe you didn't want to eat maybe at lunch by yourself, and I don't mind doing that. But what I've also done and what I've enjoyed is I will do lunch at Teppanito, to where that's the Epcot in Japan. I love that because you actually sit around this wonderful cooking area, like a Benihana, and you have other people with you. So when you do have some of these like family style, they do sit you with other folks. So that is kind of fun too, because you get to meet people and find out a little bit more folks. I absolutely love like some of the places that like Festival of the Lion King, or with me, Lights, Motors, Action. I love, love, love whatever. It's just you, because you could just kind of squish in anywhere versus having to find a seat for two people. It seems just to be a lot easier to find a good seat for one versus for multiple folks. You're able to really take it all in. And, you know, and I'm one that's different. I do not get on the phone. Every now and then I'll check emails, like maybe at lunch or something. But for the most part, I keep my phone in my bag. I want to really embrace the magic of Disney. So when you're there by yourself, you really are able to take in the sights, the sounds. To me, you get to really enjoy watching the interaction of other people with their friends and family, which is kind of cool. So when I am with my friends and family, it makes you wonder if there are single people watching us. You know?
Probably.
But I really enjoy it. You're going to have a good time. You're going to be able to stop and shop a little bit and just take your time and enjoy being by yourself. It is okay. You're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. I had a hard time my first time, you know, before I went down, but I had a good time. It's harder, I think, when you have kids. Because you start to see, like, you know, dads and daughters doing stuff together. And you're like, oh, man, you know, my kids are at home. I'm here. I feel guilty. But then you get to go ride something that nobody else wants to ride. And who cares? You know, so it all balances. Okay, her second question, Pam, I'm going to throw this one your way. And just best estimate here. She says, I'm contemplating getting a season pass. I guess she means an annual pass. Because I would love to do a Run Disney race in 2017. How many 3 to 5 day trips would I need to make it worth it financially? So what do you think? She wants to do like a few, like it sounds like long weekends maybe. Where can she save money, in air quotes, by getting an annual pass, do you think?
So this has actually changed recently with the increase in pricing. Mm-hmm. And there's a few things you need to consider. It used to say like 10 days was the cutoff. Now I'd bump that up a few more days, especially with how expensive annual passes have been. Unless you would buy the photo pass, the memory maker package. And then that's something to, you know, kind of put in your equation as well, because that would make a difference, you know, if that expense would happen. If you buy certain annual passes, Memory Maker is now included, and you'll have that for each one of your trips. But I really, you're just looking at it based on the number of admissions into the parks, I really think you should bump it up to probably at least...
What, like 12, maybe 13 is what I would say.
12 to 13, yeah. It would. And the other thing is, like, we always caution people is, you need to also think about the specials that may come out during your travel dates, because there are certain specials like the free dining specials that require a ticket be purchased with them. And for some people, that is the best special that saves them a lot of money. So therefore, if they had an annual pass and wouldn't be able to take advantage of that on one of those trips, or had to buy a 2-day ticket anyways to hold on to, that would kind of tip the scale as well.
But also, I will say one thing, though, to think about for Lucy is that if you're thinking about running and then you're cool with going down by yourself, I think that's a great opportunity to have an annual pass if you want to get one. For example, I'm going to go down and run the Star Wars Dark Side Challenge because my girls got me that for Christmas, so I'm really excited. I registered for that this past Monday officially, so I'm in. And I'm going down just by myself. Actually, I'm going with my good buddy that I used to teach with for years. I sent the email to him. He sent it to his wife, and it worked for her, too. So we both get to run the race, you know, get to be at Disney together. So, it's because I have the annual pass, you know, I have tickets, you know, I discounted room possibly, you know, it makes the trips a little bit more feasible to kind of squeak in like a trip. This one wasn't on the radar. It's only because, you know, it's not going to break the bank. It's a bonus trip. So I think that. Pam, I mean, you've heard of that for years. You know, like when you have that annual pass, a lot of times you think I'm going twice this year and maybe you end up going four times just because it's, you know, the tickets are such a big expense many times.
They are. And they're also an excuse to go down.
Yes. Yes.
So, I don't know that anyone ever saves money with an annual pass.
No, right. You don't.
Right. They just end up taking more trips. But yeah.
All right. She says, thanks for all the great running audio and keep up the great work. Again, Lucy's in Ohio. So keep running, Lucy. Good job. And hopefully in 2017, we'll get to run a race together. That'd be a lot of fun. All right. That's going to wrap it for today. But let me tell you, we're getting low on the questions and comments and mini trip reports. So please, this week, send those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. You'll be right towards the top of the queue. It'll be on the show right away. Again, send in your emails to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. Stay on top of everything happening down at Disney Springs, with everything happening over at Disney's Animal Kingdom Park, as well as the studios, Star Wars, Avatar, restaurants, park hours. Hey, you need to know what's going on. They've got it right there. Best part about it, it's free, and it's for your iOS devices. So grab it today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at virtualmickey.com. The next Be Our Guest Podcast live show comes your way on Sunday night, January 17th.
I don't know.
Where did September come from? September of 2016. I'm getting this ready. Anyway, January 17th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, magicalmouseradio.com. Be a part of the live show. We'll be recapping Marathon Weekend, I'm sure, talking about all the current news from Walt Disney World and more. Again, January 17th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. We'll catch you over at magicalmouseradio.com. And check out magicalmouseradio.com, because guess what? Life 365 may be going out of business in the next 30 days or so. But what I noticed when I listened on Monday, no commercials at all.
That was awesome, by the way.
That's probably why they're going out of business. There's no more. Maybe Flo pulled the plug on the Progressive commercials that play 38 times an hour. And I don't know what happened. But anyway, it's like being a VIP for everybody. So check it out. MagicalMouseRadio.com. Great Walt Disney World audio for you. Give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram. I'm @BRGuestMike. Great follow for the weekend. I'll be posting all kinds of stuff. And, again, if you're down there, hashtag all your posts, #RunBOGP. And if you're looking for some fun pictures, search the #RunBOGP and you'll see all that. Also, Facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. Lots of stuff. Ricky always updates that on her trips to Disney. So check that out. And drop by the forums, brguestpodcast.com/forums. All right, time to get out of here and get to the expo because I see some New Balance shoes and a lot of other merchandise, man. They have some good merchandise this year, so I am going to be broke as a joke, but I'm heading over to spend some money and help the Central Florida economy. That's what I'm telling myself.
That's correct.
I'm spreading joy. I'm spreading joy. That's it, Debbie. I'm paying your property taxes.
Thank you very much.
All right, so for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike. We're going to see you down in Walt Disney World here within hours. And have a great weekend. Have a great week, everybody else back at home midweek. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.